And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, May the 18th, 2024. It is Season 18, Episode 18, on the 18th of May. However, it's like, in total, Episode 770. Anyway, I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, you are free to call 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now over on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, and you can find us there. Search for In-Game Chat, and you'll be able to find our show. You can watch us live while we do this, as well as listen to us live while we do this. So there's, you know, plenty of work. Got a chat room you can hang out with. Discord is up and running. You can jump into our Discord and talk to us as well. So yeah, please do enjoy it. We got a couple of people in there already. Drunk Degenerates is in there. AC Wraith, R66, Lethal Migraine showing up. Yeah, I know. I was reading Lethal Migraine's thing. We need smaller games. I have an idea. Let's shut down four smaller game studios. One that won a bunch of awards. I have an even better idea. Let's open a AAA studio because that's most cost effective. Uh-huh. I know. I don't really have a...
Makes all the sense in the world.
I know. I don't have a solution for it as far as reasoning and whatever. I have no idea.
All I can figure out is someone's crunching numbers, and this is what they came up with.
I don't know. I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure they did. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, obviously, this is a massive business, so it's not something that they just said, well, you know, let's get rid of that one, and that, you know, just didn't pick them randomly. I got to figure that they, you know, spreadsheeted the thing and looked and said, this is where we're going to save us the most money. It's likely also where we're going to lose a whole lot of, you know, IP. You know, we're going to lose a whole lot of, you know, great ideas and possibly good IP, you know, to come from it, from studios we just bought. I don't know if I wasn't clear last episode. I'm not trying to find justification for the firing of the, you know, for the closing of those studios. It boggles my mind, given mostly, the Hi-Fi Rush guys, Tango Gameworks.
Yeah.
Mostly them, because that thing was a hit, and they had just said, we're going to put that out on other services.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so you would probably want more of that game, right?
Yeah.
I guess not.
No.
I think we said
it last time about Square Enix's response to their games. If it doesn't sell a certain number, it's a failure, despite how popular or how well it's received.
But that was also, you know, we talked about that. That was for Tomb Raider, and it was a game that was only available on Microsoft.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't own them or anything like that, but still, it was only on Microsoft, and the numbers that it did for us folks you know, sitting in the arms, you know, sitting in the armchair here, yeah, doing crunching the numbers. Or,
yeah, to the consumers or the folks or the laymen, yeah.
Look good.
Like, looks good.
Numbers look great.
But Square, no.
Square was not happy with that. No. And, you know, then they went multi-platform with their next. I mean, they made two more games after that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they said Tomb Raider was a failure, or our reboot was not, I didn't say a failure, they just said it did not meet our expectations of what it should have done. Well, you know, maybe
economic
because...
failure.
Who knows? It was
Fiscal failure? I don't know.
It was an exclusive to Xbox, so that money had to come from somewhere. Yeah. Microsoft had to buy that exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Was that not enough to cover? You know? And plus, this was a time before Game Pass, so while they had the exclusivity from Microsoft, you still had to buy the game.
Mm-hmm.
This was not something that we're going to put it on Game Pass. That did not exist at the time. So, and the numbers, again, we go back, and the numbers looked good to us. Did not look good to Square for whatever reason in their minds, be it the fact that we expected it to sell this much, but it only sold this much. We don't get any of the details on their end. Yeah. We get the report afterwards of like, it didn't meet expectations. Well, what did you expect? I would like to know.
Maybe it didn't satisfy, in some cases, it didn't satisfy investors.
Well, when they went to the second release of the game, they didn't do any exclusivity. It was available on all systems, mm-hmm, PlayStation and Xbox, not Nintendo, I don't think. Anyway, it was available on all those systems, plus PC as well. I don't remember hearing any you know, complaints sales-wise from that. Made a third game in the series as well,
mm-hmm,
which, again, if your game doesn't do good, you don't make another one.
Yeah.
Like, you make another game, but you don't make another one in the franchise, with the very rare exception of, you know...
some contract responsibility.
Right, like you've got to make another one, and you come back and you come out swinging. I look at, Assassin's Creed didn't have a problem, but I tell you, Assassin's Creed 2 compared to Assassin's Creed 1 was like, hey, you did make another game, and you made it 10 times better than what the first one was. The first one was not bad at all,
mm-hmm,
but the improvements and everything else that they did with the second was just an amazing jump. I wouldn't say technically, but mechanically in the game, it was fascinating how much they added to it and how better they made it play.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Assassin's Creed. That's a franchise that'll live on forever, it seems, now that Ubisoft is running with it. And we got new Assassin's Creed stuff this week, mm-hmm, by the way. New trailer dropping for that, and we'll talk about that. Cinematic trailer. We did not get gameplay. It's May 18th. Which I should have known, but I had to look at my watch. It's May 18th. We are maybe a month thereabouts,
mm-hmm,
before, you know, like Summer Game Fest, Microsoft's little, you know, whatever, their game showcase thing, and then Ubisoft's, mm-hmm, game showcase. And PlayStation's supposed to have something this month. That's the rumor, is that PlayStation will have theirs sometime this month. So what you're going to get are teases and little things here and there that are dropping and saying, you know, for more about this, tune into the show, blah blah blah. And this is the way that Ubisoft works. We're going to give you the cinematic trailer, announcement, game, whatever,
mm-hmm,
here now, and then you'll get some gameplay at the Ubisoft thing, or you'll get gameplay at the Microsoft thing, or gameplay at the Sony thing, whatever the case. They get it out now, and then you get to see more of it later on.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much later on, by the way. It'll either be at Sony's, it'll be at Ubisoft's.
Yeah.
Likely and usually what we would get is gameplay from a specific section of the game in either Microsoft or Sony's event. And then at Ubisoft's event afterwards, and again, this was all back when everything would happen on one day.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do that anymore. But Ubisoft would then show you, like, hey, you probably saw this at one of the others. We've got some more to show you here, and they'll, mm-hmm, show something completely different at theirs. So that's what you get. I completely ran off the topic there. That's how my brain and conversation works from one to another. But as far as the closing of studios goes, Lethal Migrant says, the initiative and their AAA game still hasn't released 6 years later. In fact, we know nothing about it other than the CGI trailer years ago. What are they doing? I don't even remember. I'd have to go back and look at that and be like, oh yeah, I remember seeing that, you know, because right now it's not ringing a bell to me,
mm-hmm,
on what that game was, is, or, you know, whichever one you're talking about. Feel free to throw a link in our chat room there and I can click on it and take a look at it. But you know what? You say that the Initiative and their AAA game still haven't released 6 years later. I imagine I could probably throw out a couple of other studios where it's like, hey, they announced this. Where is it? It's, you know, it's not there. It hasn't shown up. Although something I was prepared to do with Ken Levine's game, except we finally got something from that. Again, basically, it's like I forget about them. I don't hold video game rumors and things like that in my head like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Either because it became so frequent. Like, I can remember when they announced something and then we don't hear about it and we would talk about it and that sort of thing.
And something else pops up and everything like that.
I don't retain that information anymore.
It's like,
because if you announce something, I'm like, okay, that's great. You announced it. My brain will click whenever you show me some gameplay or get a date or something like that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I had completely forgotten about Amy Hennig's game for Marvel. Mm-hmm. We had seen the press reports of like, hey, she's hired. She's working on this Marvel game. And that was it. I was like, okay, that's great. And given the track record that she's had, there was no point in me storing that information because she's had like two or three canceled games on her.
Yeah.
And so whenever that finally released, it was like, okay, put that back in my head to remember it. But I just don't retain it anymore. I don't hold on to it because it may or may not ever happen.
You're at the point where you're just like a lot of folks, kind of like me, I'll be interested when you show me something.
Yeah, mostly.
You can words are just words. That's all it is. You're trying to generate hype right now. But I'll be genuinely interested when you show me something.
Exactly. It's the same way with films and video games as well. It's the same way where it's just none of that retains in my brain until I see something.
Yeah.
I'll read about like, hey, they bought the rights for this. That used to be a sign, but then it's like they bought the rights to this so they could kill it.
The thing I was about to say was...
Not so they could produce it from it, so they could kill it.
Yeah, you bought it. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah, they took on Crystal Dynamics. The Perfect Dark game, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember, man.
That title.
Perfect Dark?
Yeah,
Perfect Dark, Perfect Dark Zero. Perfect Dark Zero, I want to say, was a 360 launch title. Mm. Again, that's where this stuff that sticks in there.
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't stick in there anymore. It doesn't, it's not, I don't, yeah. You know what?
Back then it mattered.
Yeah.
Now, not so much.
Before we get too deep, and we kind of already are because it's 20 minutes in, I need to do this. Bama Bryan, obviously not in the chat room to remind me that I need to do this. I got too much stuff over here.
That's not your stuff. You share the studio with a whole bunch of other
people. You say that, but I mean, a keyboard here, mouse here, iPads back there, some keys, my sunglasses, my Steam Deck's over here being plugged in. I was going to do something with it and never did, but I plugged it in, so it's charging. A bottle with a flag. I don't know. That's not mine. Most of that is not mine. But here.
Yeah, see?
But yeah.
Not all you.
No, not all me at all. So, yeah. What, you know, 20 minutes here. We could probably go over what you played in about 10 minutes, maybe.
A little bit more MLB The Show, a little more time with that, more time with Grand Theft Auto. They put a little bonus out on a heist involving the auto shop. Unfortunately, I don't have the auto shop, but I can see all the folks online trying to do so left and right. But for the most part this week, I was playing a lot of The Division 2. With friends of mine.
Hey, nice. Okay.
So I started getting into that. And one of the first things that got me was how often you have to get stuff and have to scrounge around for things. See, I had no idea what the plot of the game was all about. Never played The Division. I just started in The Division.
Oh, really?
It was free.
This was your first time?
This is my first foray into that. Into
was
that,
this,
that
what, series. What is this, PlayStation?
PlayStation 4.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's on, pull it out. It's on Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Free. So that's how I got into it. Definitely one of those games. Play much better with friends.
Yeah.
So
totally.
It's good. It's good a solo, but with friends it's even better because you can cooperate and get a whole bunch of stuff done in a very short amount of time. Because there's plenty of stuff to do in here. Mm-hmm. All those, especially story mode, all those places you got to visit, all the side missions. Of course, you know main story missions are going to get you someplace, but in order to level up properly, you got to do all the side missions as well and get all the stuff
exactly
under your belt there as well. and found out pretty quickly not to get attached to any piece of gear or equipment, because you'll find better things in like
five. Especially seconds. Early in the game, you're not going to, you don't need to hold on to that stuff.
So don't worry about how you look and what you're using, because it's not going to really matter until you get to the end.
That game's, loot's color coded, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Typical basic gray, like Borderlands, basically.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yellow, gray, purple,
gray,
blue.
Gray to blue to purple to gold, and then whatever else you
green. Got. Green's in there?
Green's in there. Yeah. Green's in there as well. Something else, but there was something else that really got me about the thing. There was no option for me to change which servers I get into. I mean, we're in the Southeast, but my game constantly put me on the servers in the U.S. West Coast.
Yeah.
And there was no option for me to change or set to go to East servers, because that's the closest one to me. That's the one that would give me the best connection. And it was weird because playing with my friends, we're all in the same state, but they were on East and I'm on West, and I had to restart the game 3 or 4 times before I finally got to U.S. East. So we started looking around the YouTube and internet, all types of places, looking for ways to do it, and no one could really find a legit answer except going to like matchmaking, or like I had to do, just constantly restart the game over and over again until I got to the right thing. And I'm trying to think what
I don't remember picking servers in that game, but I could be wrong.
It wasn't an option. Okay. It may have been an option earlier. There may have been a patch, because this is an older game. So there may have been an option earlier, but looking at it now, there was no option for me to say, go to this server.
Huh.
So
I don't remember.
I don't know what's going on. They could probably got something going on with their server selection that's just odd to me. May not be online gaming too much, but I would think there'd be an option to check, optimize the server location for my server for me. But
not sure. Not sure at all. It's been forever, number one, that I played The Division at all, much less remembering what I played from when I played 2 or 1.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play much of 2. I played a good bit of 1 and got into 2 to play it with a buddy of mine from our Destiny clan. And we played some of it, but obviously Destiny kind of, pulled our time away from
I find that I'm playing it like I did Destiny.
Yeah.
Scout rifles.
Yeah.
That is my favorite weapon in Destiny. And I'm doing the same thing in The Division. Semi-auto, one bullet for every trigger pull. And that's the type I like using.
Yeah.
That's
I still kept a shotgun with me, I remember, because there were a lot of indoor missions.
Yeah.
And shotgun was helpful during some moments when it was, you could get up close and boom.
Yeah,
Shotgun's
a little generous, especially for when they get up close to you. And that's the thing that I'm.
But walking out the streets and everything, scout something with a scope.
Mm-hmm. Well, not really a scope, really, because a scope. I think a scope I've only added for a sniper rifle. Everything else, I just use the small little red dot laser because it improves accuracy.
Yeah,
because I can see you can pretty much see where everybody's at from a distance anyway.
It's true. I don't think they popped in, I think they did pop in. In other words, you could scope down the street and nothing would be there. But if you, once you crossed a certain part of the street, enemies, boop, there they go.
No.
Like it was a certain distance of how it loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see it. So anyway, you're here. End of the map is here.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go, did I do that right? Anyway, as you go forward, this is not your view.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the loading of the map.
Yeah.
And as you go forward, it loads in and like pop up, there comes, even though you could see what you thought was further, there would be nothing there because it has not loaded.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as enemy types and things like that.
Yeah.
If I remember right, God, it's been forever since I played that.
Yeah. But it's like I said, overall it was a pretty fun experience, especially with friends.
I did enjoy playing it. I really did. So, I'm glad you're enjoying it and having a good time with it.
I think the best part for me is finding out what am I gonna find next, what type of what type of a rifle will I find to replace it for this hour until I get another one in the next hour. But then I was also told about tiers, like top tiers, like beating the game multiple times to get to the top echelon of leveling in there. So basically New Game Plus.
It's kind of like prestige mode from Call of Duty, if you remember that. Like you would reach a certain you know, once you hit top rank, you mm-hmm. could then you'd start back over, but you'd have a prestige, mm-hmm. you know, title to it or whatever. And then you prestige 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah. something yeah. like that.
Yeah, so we got together and I was told that. I was like, oh, just treat it like Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Beating it once ain't enough. Just keep going over again. Just get the new game plus 4 and see how high you can get with that.
I read an article this morning about somebody that was playing Elden Ring for like a really long time.
There's been articles about that before where people have...
Just recently, this dude, and I don't remember his name, but he was fighting Melina. And there's clips of it on Twitter and Twitch and stuff like that, because he was streaming it. He was marathon streaming it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many hours he had put in the game, but he was fighting Melina, and then he finished. And he was all just happy. Then he realized that she has a second health bar.
I would figure everyone knew the rule by now.
He didn't. This dude didn't. I don't remember his name.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah, I know.
From Software Bosses, there's usually a second phase.
Yeah.
Now think about how we reacted on when we faced Black Flame Frida in Dark Souls 3. A third phase.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know about a third phase. We thought, okay, typical two phases, we're done. And then she started getting up, and we're like, wait, what's going on? And then we saw the health bar fill up at the bottom, and wait, there's a third phase. And you just wasted all your resources to get to this point.
Yeah, I can't remember where the article was, but I mean, he did finish the game. And mm-hmm. in fact, Bandai Namco, whoever it is, the publishers there,
mm-hmm.
they sent out a tweet in support of him as he was doing his marathoning
mm-hmm.
For the game and stuff. He was not doing a speed run or anything like that. He was just trying to get through the game. And then afterwards, once he finally did beat the game, man, he had nothing but amazing words of praise
mm-hmm.
For that title. And he talked about the fact that he used to be this kind of player, and that Elden Ring has now become something with which he will measure all games by afterwards, and realize that he will likely never have an experience like that ever again. Like, it was such a cool thing for him to go through. I'll have to find it and show it to you. Because personally, for me, it means nothing. I've not played the game.
Yeah.
I don't have that experience, or I don't have that sort of... I can't relate
mm-hmm.
to what he is saying about the game itself, or at least the specificity of what he is saying mm-hmm. And how it relates to him. Sure, I've had games that have moved, you know, I've felt moved by them. But not in a way that I measure all games afterwards type of a thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think I've yet to have that experience.
In the genre, I could see that, but yeah, for everything else,
right?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you had a puzzle game that challenged your ability, your solving ability. I mean, not, but he had that perfect balance between, easy and ridiculously impossible. Mm-hmm. It hit the sweet spot right in the middle. The basically harsh but fair type of mentality. And it stayed that way throughout your entire experience throughout the game. So
That's fantastic.
Probably describe his feeling to something in the genre that you'd like.
And we'll get to that here coming up after the break. What else? Do you play anything else?
Yep, that's pretty much it that I was playing this week. Yeah.
No Balatro, then.
No. I was working on Division.
I didn't do Balatro either this week. So anyway, we'll come up to what I played, which isn't very much, but we're going to do that when we come back from the break here. I got music from X-Men Mutant Academy. This goes back to the Game Boy Color.
Mm.
More than likely, this game existed on other consoles as well. But this is the Game Boy Color version of X-Men Mutant Academy. I don't know what the track is called. Not that it matters. But anyway, we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Thank you. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Any idea what you think this game would be from? Or the song? What game you think this song would be from?
No idea. Maybe it's this is the title screen of some...
You know, honestly, it's that old. It says track 8. So I have no idea what the title of the song is. But it comes... one of those Olympic games... You know how the Olympics would always come out and they're like, oh, we got to put a game out. It's the, this is Sydney 2000 Olympic Games. Track 8. Like you would never have known it, but it's one of those things where it's like, I forget these games exist.
Yeah. What genre of music would you have for the Olympics other than the spectacles you see on NBC?
This right here, generic, whatever music this is, you know? Something generic to throw under it.
The intro of an infomercial.
Yeah, it just
at
buy
the morning.
License rights to it, throw it in there, and there you go.
That type of thing.
Because it was always interesting, like track and field, you know, anything that you had that were like those kinds of, I don't even want to call them sport games, but those kinds of games. Track and field and
now it's a sports title.
You know, Mario and Sonic at the Olympics, you can use their themes for that if you want to. Or kind of rework them to work at the to work in the Olympics, but you know, the I don't know tennis games.
Yeah, that's another one that uses a generic stuff like that.
It's always a sports thing. Bass Pro Fishing. I don't know. Would use something like this.
You got fishing simulators like that. So yeah,
you do. I know exactly. There's one in VR that I love, and I need to get back.
Sega's was pretty good with that one.
I think that's the one I was thinking of.
Sega Bass Fishing.
Yeah. I need to go back to that and see if I can find some music from Sega Bass.
All
fishing.
That fighting and struggling, and you get a little sardine sized tuna to come out
little
the water.
Tiny thing.
or a better one. You see this huge monster of a fish, and it looks like it's coming towards your bait, and then the little one comes in front and snatches it up. You ever seen that?
Yeah. Oh, man. I've got a couple of... oddly enough, I always enjoy fishing. In games that'll let you do that, depending on the mechanic for it... I'll almost always do it and actually really look forward to it.
Yeah, you can. I think anybody can name like 5 or 6 titles off the top of their head where they got a fishing aspect.
Far Cry had it. Red Dead had it.
Warframe has it.
Warframe has fishing.
Warframe has a fishing aspect.
Well, Destiny had fishing as well. They added fishing to it a little bit. You know, of course Destiny turned fishing into what they turn everything into, which was a grind.
Yeah. Fantasy Star Online has fishing in there.
Fortnite has fishing. Lethal Migraine says I would not know because I do not play Fortnite.
Stellar Blade
has fishing. Have you played Stellar Blade? Or you just know it has fishing?
No.
You just know it has fishing.
It has fishing in it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the one that came out just recently, not too long ago, right? Yeah. Okay. I didn't know there was fishing in Stellar Blade.
Fishing in
Is there fishing in Nier Automata?
Possibly there might be. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't.
Kind of feel like there is. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but I feel like it. Another game with fishing. Of course, any game that is fishing-centric is going to have fishing available. Hey, Lethal Migraine, let me ask you.
Yeah, it's in there.
It is?
Fishing, yeah.
Nier
Automata.
Nier Automata? Yeah, that's great. Since I know you're playing it, and I don't think it's in there, but... is it the lake? I think it's the one where you're a post worker and you just drive around this lake thing doing deliveries. And so I was curious because you've got a lake, I was just curious if you could go fishing. It'd be great if they would add that in there, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, depending on the mechanic of the fishing game, I will always be drawn to like, let me get my pole. Let me go fishing. Yeah, he says there's no fishing in the lake that I came from. Well, that's a shame. Your whole game is called The Lake, and it centers around a lake. No fishing in the lake, though. Can't do it. Yeah, I don't know why. I'm just drawn to it. And the VR aspect of fishing is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Because you get these almost picture-perfect locations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they sold the DLC for those were different parts of the United States, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, here's West Coast Pacific Northwest fishing. Here is fishing in Japan. Here's fishing in the South, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing, or up in Canada or something like that. There was all kinds of different places to go. And, of course, when you would go to those areas, you would get the different types of trees that usually would be in that area. Mm-hmm. Or everything was very, very signature to the location mm-hmm. that it was in for you to do fishing. And, of course, it's VR, and so you're 360 in all directions and, you know, throw the pole out and do the thing. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and see the sights while you're looking at the bait and the sinker and all that.
Lisa Migraine asks if there's any good VR golf games. Walkabout Mini Golf is really good, but that's mini golf, and you're probably asking for a golf game. Yes, there are. I do not know on their value as far as are they any good, but there was for Oculus 2, I remember, it was something called the Golf something. I can't remember what it was called.
It wasn't the Golf Club, was it?
No, I don't think it was called the Golf Club. VR Golf.
Because that was the name before.
Golf Plus.
Okay, Golf Plus.
Golf Plus VR is what it was. That's what it was called. Golf Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Golf Club has VR on Steam.
Mm, okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, it seems to be Golf Plus. That was the one. So if you're looking for that, go for it. I have no idea. That's not something I picked up. I didn't. I just didn't get into it. I did get into Walkabout Mini Golf, but I got into Walkabout Mini Golf because I'd heard rave reviews about it, and I already knew that they were making a Myst-inspired golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made a couple of other Labyrinth. The Jim Henson film Labyrinth. Yeah. They did courses based on that, the little mini golf courses. So I already knew. It was like, I'm getting in on that because I need that DLC.
Yeah, it's kind of like pinball. You and it.
Yeah,
different tables. Just well, not instead of a table of pinball, it's a little mini golf course.
I will say that it has that Zen pinball aspect.
Mm-hmm.
AC Wraith will know what I'm talking about. And when I say Zen pinball aspect, I don't mean currently the Zen pinball. I mean Zen pinball back in the day. Where they would just have tables and tables, and they're like, hey, let's buy some more, you know, let's get some more rights to other things and make more tables.
Yeah.
And they're doing that a lot right now, but I mean, way back then it was just great because they were just throwing anything and everything at the wall to see what would stick. And it was really good. So,
yeah, I was trying to see some, you said golf and things like that. I was trying to find a good VR pool or video game pool game. Now, I've had like a.
I'll take
Pure
it in my
pool and Pure Pool. I played that one.
That's on PlayStation. Yeah.
PlayStation. It may have been free.
I want to say it was because I looked at that as well.
Yeah, and
there's Pure Pool, and then I think there's Pool Nation.
Mm.
I could be missing that one. Yeah. Talking about pool table games. The one that sticks out for me and the one that I played the most of because, I guess as a kid I really liked playing pool. But, of course, we didn't have room in the house or basically money in the house to buy a pool table.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a kid, I had a Nintendo Entertainment System, obviously. And can you think of the game that I'm thinking of? I don't know if you had or if you played this as well.
Mm-mm.
I'll give Chad a minute because I feel like somebody's going to throw that name out there. I mean, I know what the name is. Because I played it a ton. It was the first video game video game pool that I ever played.
Hmm.
And it was for the NES. And I cannot remember was it Data East? Was maybe the developer or publisher? Hmm. Side Pocket.
Okay.
Is the name of the game. And it had the little dotted line so you could see where your ball's going to go.
Yeah.
To a point. It didn't, you know.
That was like that puzzle game, Bubble Bobble. But the first three levels, it tells you exactly where your shots are going to go.
Yeah.
And then after that level, you're on your own. You have to think you've learned enough to know to how to read angles and how to put your ball in
there. There may have been a section in that game to where you could turn that off. I have no idea. I was six.
typically in games like that, it's like the beginner mode starts like that.
Yeah.
And then, but if you start in like normal difficulty or expert difficulty, you have no, there is no guide. Like you're all on your own.
I think you know what I'm going to do.
See if it's on your library there. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I've always liked pool billiards because it's like it's applied physics and geometry. No, you know, knowing your angles and things of that nature, putting the right force on the ball where you want it to go.
Yeah. Let's go to my especially those
trick shots, curve shots, like the masse, things like that. Curving it around another ball so he won't strike it.
This was, you know what? Let me search and see. What were we looking for? We're looking for side pocket. Although side pocket. I do want to look up.
I mean, it looks like plenty of things like a lunar pool, championship pool, side pocket. Yeah. Pool of radiance. That's not it.
Oh, it says no results found.
Break time. The National Pool Tour. You ever play that one?
No.
Okay.
If I do that in search, will it work?
Yeah, see, the problem I have with billiard games on, the ones that I picked up on PS4, is the implement of how much power you put on your shot, trying to use the analog stick or the buttons. It was just never a comfortable way, or maybe I just wasn't getting used to it, or the implementation in and of itself just wasn't right for me, but I could never get the right amount of power on the shots that I wanted. It's the difference between doing it virtually and doing it physically. So,
yeah, there is there's Pool Nation, and there's also Pure Pool.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. Q Club. I'm not sure about that, but I don't have. Oh man, it's not in here. That's sad.
Well, can you pick it up?
Well, I know that's side pocket doesn't show up for anything.
No,
but I mean, I'm sure there's a way that I could.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? What was the bass fishing one? Sega
Bass Fishing. Sega Pro Bass Fishing.
Sega Bass. There it is. Sega Bass Fishing. But that's in the store on there. You can buy it for $8. It's from the Dreamcast collection.
Yep. I'm trying to remember that. I think that game came with a... No, there was a third party. I don't know if it was third party or Sega made the fishing controller for the Dreamcast.
Huh.
I'm thinking it was third party.
Man, that really bugs me. The side pocket's not in here. That is a what do you want to call it? That's a nostalgia trip, man. That is a part of my, I don't want to say my childhood, but yeah, I mean it really is. And I'm wondering if it had a different name. Oh, I got Popeye on here. That's good.
Which one?
The old Commodore 64, the old NES Popeye.
Okay.
Oh, man. I really should never do this while I'm on the show, because seeing all this box art, I'm like, oh, wow. There's a game called Power Blade, which has the worst box art, although it doesn't because there's much worse.
I'm about to say, yeah, there's plenty of worse box art than
Power Blade is about a guy with a boomerang as his weapon. So, but no, Princess Tomato in the Salad Kingdom, which was Hudson Soft. God, I played that a lot. I would go and rent it and then play it and try and work my way through it. I'm in the...
There was one that Sega made. Sega did make a fishing controller.
Really?
Yeah. For the Dreamcast. And then there was one from Interact, made another one, the Fishing Controller.
What's it called again?
Fishing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Fishing.
The Fishing Controller. Yeah, there's your test for radio, warm-up for radio voice. Try saying that one.
Ah, there it is. It's in here. It just didn't recognize it.
Different name then.
Side Pocket, baby. I'm launching it right now. I am.
Make sure it works.
It's right there. Side pocket.
Side pocket. Ah.
Old side pocket.
The nostalgia bug is getting you right now, right?
Oh, man, is it ever. Did it have bucks. Music? Did it have... How do you...
Probably does.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. I'll do that one.
Yeah, I'm looking at eBay for prices on this thing. They want $80 for this game. Bass Fishing and the controller for $80 on the Dreamcast.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. God, this takes me back.
Yep.
How do I hit the thing? I don't know how to... Dun, dun, dun. Oh, God, this takes me back, man. Okay, we're done. All right. We're
until,
all finished.
Until the show's over, exactly.
Yeah. Let's get out of here. Exit the game. Although, I'll tell you this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that music for the next show. I won't get that music for the next show. Side pocket, baby. God. Oh. I played so much of that game as a kid. Let me tell you, because I've only got 7 minutes left, and this has just gone off the rails here. Let me tell you about what I did play. Honestly, nothing with the exception of Talos Principle 2. I finished that game.
Okay.
And I am in love with that game. I am...
Are you having an Elden Ring moment like that dude did earlier?
Well, no. Okay. No. I'm not about to measure that to all other games. Although I will say it is a fantastic improvement upon the original with what they did.
It's kind of like the jump. Is it like the jump from Assassin's Creed to Assassin's Creed 2?
It depends. Mm-hmm. This is completely objective.
Yeah.
Because not having some of the old elements in the old game in this one made me realize how glad I was that they weren't there.
Mm.
There were elements in the old game that you had devices of basically death. There were these mines that would hover and float, and if you got close to them, they would chase you and explode. There were all kinds of different little things like that where it's like, you have to turn this off before you can do that. They didn't put any of that stuff in this game.
They took the action element out of it. They just went straight.
They just went straight puzzles. Okay. Now, but if they wanted to, if they wanted to hinder you as far as you making it from one place to another, they would integrate that into the puzzle solving, not integrate it into, well, you got to sit here and wait for the mine to go by. Then you can move forward, and then when it comes up, you need to make sure you go and hide somewhere and then come back so you can, finish solving the puzzle, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of others, like I think there were turrets and a couple of other things, and they left all that stuff out. They completely removed it outside of the opening tutorial, because the opening tutorial is sort of giving you a refresher of what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then it opens up, and it's a completely different game than what you remember. But they remove some of those elements, but all of them, they recognize them that they were in there, because there are places where you see those mines and those traps and those turrets and those guns, and all the things from the old games or from the old game are in a museum in the new game. So you can go back and look and like, oh, this was from the past and what this is and that sort of thing. So, they took out the timing puzzles as far as like watching yourself, recording yourself doing something and then having to play back and time it right and that sort of thing. Took all that out. Didn't put any of that in there. Perfectly fine. They came up with new ways to use the light beams and everything else. Before you had a red laser and a blue laser, and that was it. And you had to make sure that the red would reach the red and the blue would attach to the blue. And that's all you needed to do. And you did that by directing the flow of the laser with these little crystal things. In this one, they decided to just give you more items. For instance, I have something that on certain walls can make a hole in the wall, very portal-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll make a hole. You've got teleport pads. Whereas if you've got line of sight, and not anything blocking that you can teleport from wherever you're at into that thing. They've got, and you won't, I feel like I may be spoiling it, but man, there's so much in this game. They've also got clones. So you may be completely blocked off on one part of the puzzle, but if you can see your other self, you can become that other self and play on that side. Mm-hmm. And so you can do things that'll affect the other side and that sort of thing. Yeah, you can switch back and forth.
Okay.
So, I mean, they just added so much. They added a laser that will, if it receives a blue laser, it will emit a red laser. Mm-hmm. You know? They had items that would, if you attached it to a red laser, it would soak in the red laser, and then you could, it's like a portable emitter. Mm-hmm. So you could take it, if for whatever reason that source of that laser was behind a wall or something, mm-hmm. you could then use this device to soak that up, go somewhere else, sit it down, and it would become your source mm-hmm. for that laser. So they just, you know, even though they eliminated some of the stuff from the old ones, they just said, well, we're just going to throw more puzzle aspects in there. Just more stuff for you to have to think of how to work around and that sort of thing. And they did a really, really, really good job. Level design, and when I say level design, I mean the maps that you have to explore were massive. I could have used with some smaller spaces because I like to cover everything. Everything was not worth covering in this. So it would have been nice if they had somehow closed those in just a little bit.
I mean, it's not like there are items to pick up, or is there?
That's the problem. The one time that you go out of your way and stumble upon a secret, then that sets the tone for every single map that you're going to play afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like, if I found that out here, I might find some other stuff out here when I go and check it on the next map.
You got to explore.
And the map after that and that sort of thing. And so it's, the map does a good job of, when I say the map, I mean the HUD in the game, mm-hmm. does a really good job of telling you that, hey, there's something you don't know about over there. It's a question mark. And so if you go in that direction, you'll eventually get to what it is. But that doesn't cover everything. That doesn't cover some audio logs that you can discover. That doesn't cover the some of the artifacts that are laying around. And when I mean artifacts, I mean like there's a old beat-up car, and when you scan it, it says, this is an automobile. Humans used to use this to blah, 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 because you're taking place way. Humans are all dead.
Yeah.
The humans have died out, and this is their story. So I got to the end of the game. I finished it. Brilliant. Loved it. Every single aspect of it was wonderful. I cannot recommend this game enough to people who were fans of the first. If you are fans of the first, you are going to enjoy the second. If you are a fan of puzzle gaming, that this is, you're going to enjoy this. You might actually enjoy this a lot more than the first game. Yes, there's a lot more philosophical stuff in this, but it is done not through the text adventure type stuff, the computer terminals that you had in the first game, which were kind of boring because you had to read all of it, you know. This one is fed to you through dialogue, which is easier to take than sitting there and reading all of it. Mm-hmm. So you get to have dialogue choices. You get to have conversations with everybody else. And so that's great. I did get three choices at the end. And I'm not so certain that there are that those are the only three choices. The interesting thing that I only thought about today when I was getting ready for the show was that because I went through and 100%ed everything, once you get through with the game, all the gold puzzles open up for you. And there are, I don't know, there's one in each set, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 12 to 15 of them. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even more than that. But once you finish the game, and if you've collected all of the stars, then you can turn those in and they become keys that unlock those doors. Once you finish all of those, another part of the story opens up for you and something happens. I did all of this before I went and finished the game. When I got to the end of the game, I had dialogue that only came from the fact that I finished all of those. Because once you finish, like I said, once you finish all of them, another puzzle opens up. And when that opens up, a bit of the story comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And that story that comes out gives you that dialogue in the end of the game. It's not a choice that you make. In other words, it's not that dialogue is spoken not voluntarily, but not by you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not a selection that you click on. You're clicking on other stuff, and then your character happens to say something that is related to what you just did. If I had not done that, because the option's completely there for me to not do this and just go ahead and finish the game,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to how that would go. Because you do have to make a choice at the end of the game. And you have three choices to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what I picked was, you know, the good ending, canon, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily sure that there is a bad ending. There are other options. And I need to go back and see if I can do those. The problem with that is, and the problem that I thought about, was that I still have that dialogue option. When I went back to go do some of these, all of my gold rooms had been cleared, and that last little story bit had also been finished. It was still there. So that dialogue option is still there for me. Or that piece of dialogue is still going to be there. So I'm kind of curious how that conversation goes if I don't have that little tidbit of information. Because having that tidbit of information, you can tell in the response from the other character that that's a big deal. Because that other character finally says, oh, well, that changes things. Yeah. And at the time I was playing it, I didn't realize that. I just felt like I was going through the motions of like, okay, this is how it's going to end. Here's my three choices. Here's what I'm going to pick. But then I was thinking about it when I was getting ready for the show, and I was like, wait a second. And because this is how this game works for me. Sticks in my head, keeps playing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to go back to it. It was a wonderful game. Even when you do all the puzzles, when you're done and you're finished and you think you're going to the end of the game, they give you more puzzles. And I don't necessarily want to spoil it for anybody, but it's a puzzle type that has you switching worlds in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the same area, just one is in this shape and the other one is this shape, but you're in the same area. And what you do in one affects what happens in the other. And so, in other words, to get this laser to go over here, I've got to be in the other dimension type of thing of this area, figuring that out in order to get a light that's going to hit this receiver that when I go into the other area, dimension, whatever it is, oh, there it is. It's all lit up. There we go. Now I can get into this area and do this. So yeah, there's a lot of, I wonder what happens if I do this type of thing, just to see if that's gonna play out. I don't know. But I cannot express enough how much I enjoyed that game, how much I loved it. Just, it was fantastic. I think I put in like 40 some odd hours of playing. And I did not 100%. There's still like some more achievements to do, but I felt like I did a really good job with it. So yeah, it doesn't look like I missed anything that I know of, but there are achievements there's an achievement for not playing the game at all. In other words, once you fire up the game and play through it, you get to a point where they say, hey, do you want to go and do all these puzzles? You're given a choice. And if you choose no, you get an achievement for that. Of course, I never picked that. I was like, okay, we're going to go. But yeah, you can do that. So anyway, we're way behind. I got to go. Here's music. I wish we had longer to play this music. We don't. I believe this comes from another Game Boy Color, or Game Boy Advance, maybe. I'm not sure. The track is called The Mysterious Planet. This comes from a game called The Smurfs Nightmare.
Mm.
I know. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into Endgame Chat. This is music from Heroes of Might and Magic 6, I think. Stronghold is the name of the track. Popped open my nostalgia machine and was looking through other games and stuff like that. And yeah, I want to say that you asked if the Noid game was on there, the Domino's Noid.
Yeah, because we saw those games based on company logos and
right. Cool I did. Spot cool Spot was in there.
Yeah,
I saw something like Pepsi Man or something. I don't know what it was called.
Yeah, I remember Pepsi Man.
Yeah, I think he was in there too. But I was looking for Noid, but it's got to be very specific in how I find it. And I don't think it was just called. It was either called The Noid or Hey Noid, or something like that, because it's not under the ends. It also wasn't under the Hey Noids either.
Yo, Noid.
Yep. Yeah. God. Got to go all the way to the other end.
Yeah.
I almost can guarantee you that it's there.
And there was a sequel?
There was? Do I have the... Now, see, now... Man, I'm going to... This thing's going to get tired of like, why do you keep waking me up and putting me to sleep? Why do you keep doing that?
It's like it'll stop. It's going to
break. Yeah. Hang on. I'm searching.
Yeah.
I'm at Tecmo Super Bowl right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Just get Bo Jackson head for the end zone. That's all you need to do.
Let's see. There's Werewolf. There's WCW Super Brawl. there's Widget or Willow. I want to say Widget. There is a Widget. Okay. Wolverine. There's WrestleMania. There he is. Oh, I have the sequel.
So Yo Noid and Yo Noid 2.
No, I only have Yo Noid 2, it looks like.
Hmm.
Yeah, I only have Yo Noid 2. Best I can tell.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to keep this, instead of putting this thing to sleep so dang much, I'm just going to keep it open there.
Yeah.
Just sit it right there. All right. Somebody asked if we had talked about Hades 2. We have not, because neither one of us have played it.
Mm-hmm.
I also haven't played the first one. Mm-hmm. So, and now that I'm done with Talos, and I kind of want to go back and try those other dialogue options.
Unfinished business. Yeah.
Yeah, the more I put it off, though, the more I don't feel like going back. I've been trying to figure out, like, what's going to be the next thing that I put my time in.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Humble Bundle deal on some Metroidvania games that I had read some Reddit reviews where it's like, just because there was a certain game that was in there, and I don't remember the name of it, but the certain game was worth... they were saying it was like way worth more than what this bundle was selling for. Cause it was going for like 15 bucks. No, 14 bucks, 14 bucks. And you got like seven games.
So they're saying this game should not be in a Humble Bundle.
No. They just said that it's that good. It's that the value of that is easily worth the $14 for just one game.
Yeah. That game alone is worth getting this Humble Bundle.
Okay. And when I was looking, in fact, I looked at one of the prices because I wanted to see what I had because when I look at Humble Bundles, they don't tell me what I already own. So I had to go to my library to say, okay, how much do I have of these games?
Yeah.
And I only had one out of the ever how many it was.
Okay.
And he says, Thar66 says, it's a hard roguelike with awesome style. Great gameplay. Yeah. Wait, what are we talking about? Hades 2? That's what we're talking about, Hades 2. No. I'm talking about, let's look at my library. Which is always nice that I can go to my library here and see this. What did I pick up? This is the one that I'm thinking of. It's called 9 Years of Shadows.
Okay.
And that's the one that they're like, ooh, that's worth a lot. Cookie Cutter was another one that on its own cost about 15 bucks on the Steam store. But I was getting that. Axiom Verge 2.
Yeah, I remember picking those up for PlayStation.
Yeah, Axiom Verge I already had. In fact, I've gone back into that game recently and started playing that. But I did not have the sequel. And so, that was another thing that I picked up. The other games were, Ghost Song? Ghost Song, Death's Gambit, The Night Witch. So you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You get 7 games for $14. With most of that going to charity. And it was real good. Real good picking up. I did pick up Overlord and the DLC for Overlord. Overlord Raising Hell. It was $1. So I was like, oh, good. That's a game I remember playing on the Xbox 360 and really, really enjoying.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to pick that up on PC to see if I can have it. But So, Axiom Verge is one that I'm kind of looking into, but I really feel like the next one that I'm going for, as far as to play it, is probably going to be Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
I've had that for a while now. It's on console. I haven't, jumped into a console game in a while.
Yeah.
I think the last console game I was really getting into was God of War, Ragnarok. And I just haven't jumped into that. So I believe I'm going to go with Spider-Man 2 on that one. There's another game that just recently became available on Game Pass. Chance of Sinnar, I believe, is the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's a puzzle game, but it's a language puzzle game. I played the demo on Steam during their Next Fest, and I was kind of interested. But there were other things pulling me, which was Balatro and a couple of others during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, yeah, I'll get to it when I can, if I need to, or, when it's on sale, or just see how it goes when it gets released. And it's gotten really, really great reviews. Well, it is now on Game Pass, so I plan on playing it there. So I'll try that as well. But anyway, yeah. Just trying to figure out what my next game's going to be. And that's always fun. It's always fun to, like, which one am I going to jump into?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I could probably do Axiom Verge. That's the weird thing. I went and I looked at my achievement list for Axiom Verge. All of this stuff happened in 2015. That's how long it's been since I played the game.
Yeah.
It's also how long the thing's been out. And I was looking at my achievement list. And I played it one or two times this week after getting Axiom Verge 2. I played it a couple of times this week. Moving around, remembering, because I didn't know how far. I still don't necessarily know how far in the game I am.
You don't want to start over?
I don't. That's the problem. It's a Metroidvania, right? So you've got to unlock all these different paths. You've got to upgrade your character. You've got to find all these power-ups and everything else. And I just feel like I'm in a good position that I don't want to have to go and do all that over again. I can remember playing it, and I remember feeling like I was getting lost in a maze and not getting what I needed or something like that. But I actually made headway today and got an achievement. Since 2015, I got a new achievement. But the cool part about that is you felt like you were progressing. Earlier this week when I was picking it up and playing around and messing around with it, trying to get, I was just like, God, this seems ridiculously, I'm never going to figure this out again. But this morning, took some time to just sit there and really soak it in, get my controller going, everything else. And it's not that it clicked, but I actually made some progress in the game. Some more of the map appeared for me. Some more of the story came in. I got a new power up. I got some new things as well that I learned. The story advanced. And I was like, hey, this is good. The itch was coming back. You know what I'm saying? Whatever that chemical is that a game feeds you, or a game like this feeds you when you make that progress after not feeling like you've made any progress, started to drip, started to hit me. So I may jump back into that. But Spider-Man 2, I think, is going to be on the menu. It's been a while.
Can you remember where you were in that game?
Which one?
Spider-Man 2.
I haven't played it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I bought it when that Japanese sale was going on.
Okay.
I picked it up for like $7 digital. And so, I've got it. I just haven't played it yet. When I said a long time, it's God, that was over a month ago, I think, when I bought that. And I still haven't played it. Because I was in the middle of playing other games at the time, and I didn't want to. I talked about it. Yeah. I didn't want to jump into it
Look, that's nothing new. We've got plenty of games in our backlog that we've bought.
Oh, totally.
Played for months.
But my brain was so drilled into the way the puzzles worked in Talos, and my mind was wrapped around this is how the colors work. I just wanted to keep that going and that momentum fresh and everything else. I didn't want to pull anything else like we pulled before, where I play something else and I get too involved in that that the other one kind of takes a dive, and then it's like, I got to go back to this. I just wanted it.
Last of Us 2. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just didn't want to pull that off, you know? That's all.
And this is it's action adventure, but it's still a story to be told, so.
Yeah. Hey, did anybody in our group get a, you know, a key to play that new Marvel game, Marvel Rivals? The alpha is currently going on, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if anybody got a key to experience that. It's an Overwatch shooter type of thing, but using
Overwatch with Marvel characters.
Marvel characters, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of curious about that. We had a news bit about the fact that somebody made a stink because they read in the NDA or the disclaimer something that you couldn't negatively review the game. And regardless of context, that's what made the rounds, was that, hey, when you play this, you can't say anything negative about it. None of that was the case. They went ahead and removed it anyway because of the stink that it was throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
But the context of it was not people who got keys to play this thing, but they were content creator partners. If you signed a deal with them to be a content creator partner, you were not allowed to publish negative things about it. Not only that, it was only involved for the alpha. It is an alpha. There is no need to be... Every review would say, this is an alpha. Every time you criticize it, it would say, this is a work in progress. I mean, there's no... You're not even at the beta stage of the game. You're not anywhere... There was... Anyway, they just, and by they, I just mean the internet. They took that and they ran with it.
A little bit and ran with it instead of getting it in context. But the fact that it was there at all was like.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look for them anyway. Yeah. And I mean, sure, go ahead, not do that.
There's no way to benefit from saying
right.
this because, it, like I said, it's an alpha. It's a work in progress and there's going to be errors.
Yeah.
There's going to be things. We need you to let us know these things so we can fix them for the future.
Yeah.
That's generally how I thought
it. It's an alpha. Yeah. And it was part of their partner program, not like there were content creators that got keys, but mm-hmm. they weren't part of the partner program. And so they were talking about it under NDA or whatever they had NDA that they couldn't, but yeah, it was just one of those. Lethal Migraine just reminded me. I may be skipping Spider-Man 2 because Hellblade 2 comes out Tuesday.
No.
And it'll
Take
be on
poison.
Yeah, I know. It'll be on Game Pass. Yeah, I may play Axiom Verge up until Tuesday and then start playing Hellblade. Man, I forgot about that. Yeah. So that'll probably be it for me. I'll be playing Hellblade. So, which by the way, show note, we're not gonna do a show next weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Mm.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Check my Should calendar. Be. Where's my calendar? Yeah. No show next weekend.
Yeah.
So, exactly.
Some holidays sneak up on you if you're not careful.
They will. Yeah, that was our first news story. It was about the NDA for the Marvel Rivals thing that was completely...
Shouldn't have existed at all.
I mean, it shouldn't have been in there as well, but
the wording of it should not have been...
The way that it was like carried across the internet was like, oh, they were, you know, this is bad faith, blah, blah. And I mean, no. First off, there's also rules that if you are a content creator partner, there are rules that you have to disclose things like that whenever you are talking about the game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of negative or positive, you have to disclose that, you know, I'm also affiliated with them, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Can't be any kind of that shady stuff where they just like it for no reason. Of course not. They're getting paid to. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else do we have? Possibly a PC port of Red Dead Redemption, the first game. I feel certain that that'll happen. Red Dead Redemption 2 was fantastic on PC. I don't see why not Red Dead wouldn't be coming to PC as well. It seems like a definite thing now. This was something people found. I can't remember where they found it, but it's likely in the next couple of months that you'll get Red Dead on PC.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how they price it. Ghosts of Tsushima Director's Cut is currently on Steam. That is going for a full $60. There is no, you know, Game's been out for a while, but whatever. It's on PC. It's going for a full 60.
New on PC, so therefore...
It's kind of understandable that it is because, and I say this because we've seen that in previous releases. Mm-hmm. God of War, Horizon, Spider-Man, all these different games that were on PlayStation that are now on PC sell at top price. Yeah. You can find some deals on other storefronts that are selling it, you know, Steam version for like $45 or something like that. But it's not released at a lower price. This feels a bit different. It's Red Dead Redemption. Mm-hmm. This is going back to 15.
Not two. The original.
Yeah. This is going 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't even know. I don't remember when Red Dead came out. But it's going back a ways.
Yeah.
So
new on
I understand. PC. I understand. So. But even a game like this, new on PC, yeah, I don't know. I can't see them doing it.
I mean, including all the DLC, I hope.
Yeah. You get the Undead Nightmare stuff. Okay. All of it.
Yeah.
All of it will be on PC.
Yeah, another reason to put it at full price in.
Yeah. They totally will. Are you looking up when it was released?
2010.
See? Okay. Yeah. 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was off a little bit. But yeah, it's been out there. It's been out there a minute. So, what else do we have? Helldivers 2 became the fastest selling game ever for PlayStation, which is understandable. I get it. Lethal Migrant says it's so weird that Rockstar has their own PC launcher, but they don't put almost anything online. I agree with you. Especially the older stuff. I mean, obviously we've got Bully, Red Dead 2. What else do we have from Rockstar? GTAs.
GTA, of
course. Yeah, some GTAs out there as well.
Well, did they make table tennis?
They did, but it's not on PC.
Yeah.
It's only on the 360. They did that because they were using the engine for GTA 4, whatever that engine was called. And they basically made a tech demo, which was Rockstar Table Tennis, that sold amazingly well.
A sellable tech demo.
Yeah. I mean, there's no story there or anything. There's nothing like their previous stuff. It was table tennis.
Yeah.
But
pick your character, smack the ball.
It did. By the way, table tennis at VR, they've got that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't think that's on PC either. LA Noire, that's the other one I was thinking of. Because that's on PC. That's Rockstar as well. Let's see. Helldivers, like I said, fastest selling PlayStation game. And these are just kind of quick hits that we got up to the week here. Or throughout the week here. The next video game-based series that is coming to Amazon Prime will be, and a game we talked about earlier, Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. Squeenix is going to hate selling that property off. Right? They sold it off, right? Mm. Square Enix, they sold that off. They don't own that anymore, right? Because it was Crystal Dynamics. They took it and somebody else picked it up. I can't remember. But I don't think they hold that property anymore. Because it was Crystal Dynamics.
Embracer Group.
Oh.
Owns the right to the Tomb Raider trademark and characters of the franchise.
Okay. Embracer. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one they bought it. Embracer bought a lot, and then they killed a lot, and they laid off more people and everything else. But Tomb Raider is going to get a series, and it'll be coming to Prime. I'm telling you, Last of Us did great. Fallout did great. They're going to run with this ball. And they're probably going to have a couple of flops here and there, maybe. Unless they can continue to go with it. Halo ain't doing great. I haven't watched much of that, but Halo's... They got two seasons. Probably going to get a third.
If it makes money, it will, yeah.
I know, yeah. So, hey, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will hit up some more news that we've got here for you. We have music here going back to the PlayStation 1, which is basically just called the PlayStation. Yeah. Wasn't it called X in Japan, PlayStation X? Or was that the name it was being...
Sounds like a variation of the original PlayStation.
Yeah. RJ's doing his Googling right now.
PSX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the original PlayStation, right?
PSX in Japan in 2003.
Yeah. Okay. PSX. That's right. That's what it was. Anyway, this game comes from, and I never played it, although I'll go to my Steam Deck to see if it's there. It is The Grinch. And the name of this track is called The Cave of the Grinch. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from... I'm not sure. It's off the SNES. Do Lucky No Puzzle Tour 94.
Spell that first part.
Well, it's basically D-O and then Lucky. D-O Lucky. Do Lucky. No space, just Do Lucky. No Puzzle. N-O and then Puzzle. Tour 94.
I'm guessing Japanese.
I would imagine. Well, listen to that.
Oh, the cover. Yeah.
It's Japanese, isn't it?
Puzzle game developed in 94 for the Super Famicom. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Go back a ways in some of this music. God, it's so much fun. It is so much fun going through this thing.
The game is a mix of Bust a Move and Tetris.
I mean, I know I put these games on here, but to kind of go through these and just look at these covers mm-hmm. of these game box of these games and like it takes me back to either when I was playing it or when I was walking through movie gallery or Video Express. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to go back to that because Blockbuster was different. I wasn't renting NES games from Blockbuster.
Mm-mm.
Blockbuster was like a West Coast store. We didn't have any here. We had Movie Gallery and Video Express.
Yeah.
Sometimes there was a Hollywood Video, but you had to drive out to get to that one. But yeah. It was Video Express or Movie Gallery. And so I would see these box covers. There's City Connection. There's Clay Fighter.
Bad Mr. Frosty.
Yeah. Classic Concentration on the old NES. Let's see. How many Clay Fighters do I got? A lot of Clay Fighters on here. Clue Land. That's going back.
You mentioned one of my favorites, Burger Time.
Burger Time. Cobra Triangle.
Is that the vert shooter?
But on a boat, yes.
Yeah.
There's Columns. We already went down this road before. Yep.
Played that one. Had a good time.
Yep.
We'll go back eventually.
Just looking to see if there's any others because I'm only in the C's. There's Cool Spot, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Cruising. Is that Crystallis? Crystallis. Yeah, Crystallis. Mm-hmm. Not familiar with that one. It seems familiar. It looks familiar. A Boy and His Blob. Boy, I played a lot of that. I actually bought that game.
You got Trog?
Trog is in here, yes. It is the console. It's the home console version.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I want the arcade version. I want that claymation look.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the arcade version of Trog looked great.
Beautiful, yeah.
Just looked amazing. Clay, you know, hand... is the best I can tell you is that it looked like it was hand done. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it was all created there by hand. And when your character moved, they had video movement of your, just amazing the way that looked.
Mm-hmm.
There's Demolition Man. Desert Strike. God, I remember
EA?
This.
If there's a chopper.
I have three of them.
Oh yeah. Desert Strike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Soviet Strike, Was it Nuclear Strike?
There was Jungle Strike.
Jungle Strike.
Yeah, there was Jungle Strike, Desert Strike, Nuclear Strike. Yeah. There is Dig Dug. We talked about that the other day. One of your favorites.
I really like the story of a Soviet strike. It was a type that really kept my interest, the FMV in between each mission.
I'd have to go back to that.
Yeah.
Been a minute.
Mm-hmm. It was also funny seeing those actors in Soviet Strike on other television shows and and things.
There's Dragon's Lair. We talked about that before. Because, you know, I probably have that on every single thing.
Yeah, I picked that up free. Dragon's Lair, Space Ace, and Dragon's Lair 2 Time Warp.
All right, nothing else is kind of sticking out as one of these, like,
I want to say
it was
a bundle. I want to say it was a Don Bluth bundle.
Probably.
When it was free.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. There's because he only did, like, three or four games. In that style, anyway, that had his name on it. And I believe that was all that was there, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been a lot of fun to go back over and look at this. I got a Fester's Quest. Sit that down. I'll just be distracted by it. I really will. I really will.
Yeah.
Back to the news. Nintendo Switch Online added Super Mario Land and two other Game Boy games. Again, something I could probably go through here and look and find. I will not do that. Stop. Assassin's Creed Shadows was shown off, or at least the cinematic trailer for it was. Yay, these things don't get me excited because it is a cinematic. I need to see gameplay. But again, it's Assassin's Creed, so I could probably look at any other Assassin's Creed game and say, there's your gameplay. Although, I think this is the next one, because they did Assassin's Creed Mirage, which was kind of like a little appetizer type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a full price game. I think you could pick it up for 40 or 50, 40, I think. Was the price that it was going for. It wasn't a $60 game. It was shorter than most. It did not adhere to the previous three Assassin's Creed games of this massive open world, go about, do whatever you want type of thing. It harkened back to the previous games of like, here's things on the map you need to go do, that sort of thing, whatever. And I want to say that Assassin's Creed Shadows, which is what's going to release later this year, is a larger version of that. Because I want to say they were taking that direction back in there, but maybe they're not. I don't know. Again, we saw nothing but cinematics, so it doesn't tell us how the game plays. I can't get excited over cinematic. Obviously, if they're going to give me information like, hey, watch the full gameplay on Monday, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But a news report will give me that. I don't have to watch your cinematic.
Yeah.
Anyway, it does release November 16th. It'll have two playable characters, one a shinobi and one a samurai. The two playable characters seems to take me into the realm of it being that open world thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where, like it had in the past, you could play a male or a female character. Although I think in this one it says two playable characters, it's either the shinobi or the samurai.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. Originally, we thought you were going to have an internet connection to play Assassin's Creed Shadows, but Ubisoft were quick to update that and say, no. It's not required. Where's the update? Ubisoft has issued a statement on the official Assassin's Creed Twitter account clarifying that, as we noted in our story, Assassin's Creed Shadows will only require an internet connection to install the game, just like it had done with the Avatar game that it had just recently released.
Mm-hmm.
It will not need an online connection at all times to play. After installing Assassin's Creed Shadows, players will be able to enjoy the game offline.
Mm.
But to install it, you will need an online connection. Because, what did we say? We talked about this.
Yeah.
You get a disc.
Yeah.
The game is not on that disc when you buy it.
Yeah.
If you buy a physical item, that game is not on that disc. The only thing that is on that disc is a key to tell the storefront that's online that you can download this.
Yeah.
This is your game. It is going to download it and install it. That's really, it's an installer. Mm-hmm. But it does not have the game on the disc.
On the disc, yeah.
They just don't do that anymore. outside of saving time or money or something? I have no idea.
I was just thinking about something with Assassin's Creed Mirage. Is it going to have the same storyline like Ghost of Tsushima?
Shadows. Assassin's Creed Shadows. Mirage is what came out this past year.
Shadows, okay. Sorry, I'm not familiar with the...
I understand. Trust me. There's plenty to go through. But, it's annoying.
I'm wondering if it's going to be the same exact same storyline.
Just call it Assassin's Creed Ninja. It's not necessarily ninja, but I know what you mean.
No, I mean, because the story of Tsushima was he's a samurai.
Uh-huh.
And there's certain things samurai are not supposed to do.
I know.
So,
have you watched the cinematic?
No, I'm just remembering having a samurai associated with an assassination is like, wait a minute.
Watching
I've seen this story before.
Yeah, watching the cinematic gave me very Ghost of Tsushima vibes.
Oh, okay.
It really, really did.
Yeah.
Mainly when the samurai showed up.
Yeah, because samurai being doing ninja tactics is
Yeah, when he showed up in the trailer, cinematic, whatever it was, when he showed up there, I was just getting really heavy, and probably because the game was releasing on PC, so we're getting a lot of video of that and everything. It just felt like it was very samurai centric recently in games, and so anyway, seeing that pop up, I was getting some Ghost vibes.
Yeah,
you'd have to watch the cinematic. I think it's like 3 minutes long. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it now, just at some point, and see if you get the same feeling from it as well.
I got is a game about assassination, and one of the characters is a samurai.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all I need. I've seen that story before, if it plays out the way I'm guessing it will. But it
says Grand Theft Auto 6 is now expected out in the fall of next year. 2025, so we'll get more teasers and trailers and things like that.
Here's the theme. See the theme we're pushing here, folks. Themes and trailers and nothing concrete.
Concrete at all. But it's Rockstar. It's what they do. And this will be the first one without Dan Houser, who's recently, by the way, his new company is creating an open world action adventure. Dan Houser's new studio. Let's see. This comes from VG247. The headline on this is, we're almost certainly going to see Xbox's biggest games on PlayStation soon. Reading through it, Microsoft's reportedly considering a no red line approach to porting games to PlayStation consoles. In a new strategy to increase margins for its released video games. In other words, okay, we closed studios. What else can we do to get more money in?
Mm-hmm.
We just saved a bunch by closing all these studios. What else can we do? Oh, that's right. Release our games on other systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's good titles, not that.
This works
not
in
that lackluster stuff.
I know, but this works in every single medium. The more available your product is, the more you are likely to make from that product.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it.
From the get-go.
I know. And I understand that you have IP. Like, you know, Master Chief is specifically... It's the weirdest thing. It's easier to go back to Nintendo and show this off than it is through anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nintendo was Mario, 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 Mario. And that's all you ever thought you would see. And then for whatever reason, whenever it happened, Sonic showed up in some game. I think it was either Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. If it wasn't, it was Smash Brothers when Sonic showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember when it was. But some barrier was...
I want to say it was the Olympic one first.
It was probably the Olympic one, but some barrier came down because Sega got out of the console business and said, we're just going to stay with the video game business or making games and publishing those. But at some point, Nintendo was okay with that. With like, okay, sure, yeah. But they weren't okay with like their brand going anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mario's not going to go on some other console.
Right.
Which Nintendo...
They know they're going to make money.
Yeah, I know. Which doesn't really matter for Nintendo. But Microsoft, it's like, you guys stop holding on to your... Look, Crash Bandicoot is now on different systems all over.
Yeah.
Because PlayStation lost the whatever to it. It's not associated with PlayStation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, and I don't think that's a good example to show why, you know, to show why they shouldn't do that. Yeah.
I think if companies see that more consumers are just willing to wait, give it time. Because I'm thinking there's not a lot of titles I buy like day one anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a time I would jump on it right off there from the get go. But if you want to wait, give it some time, wait a bit, or like me and you getting our backlog, and then before you know it, oh, suddenly it's available on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly it's available on the console you own when it used to be exclusive. If companies see that people are willing to wait to give it a time, that exclusivity deal, it's not going to look too lucrative.
Yeah,
from the
there are certain titles, there are certain games that I would be very surprised to see break out of their console home.
Mm-hmm.
But because I mean, you look at where Microsoft is sitting with Call of Duty. That's a massive game. But they're not going to keep it just on their system, at least from what I understand, they're not. Or are they? I can't remember. Wasn't there some deal where they were going to, where at least for this first one after, that it was coming to be on all systems, I think, or something like that? I can't remember.
Time. I mean, think about what happened with MLB The Show.
Yeah.
After year of being,
exactly.
being on that thing, the numbers came in and the issue got forced. We've got to expand.
I don't know that I ever... You guys probably did. You and Lethal Migraine and a couple others probably related MLB The Show as, you know, that's a Sony thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a PlayStation thing.
Yeah.
I never did. I understood that it was on Sony. You know, if I was going to play that, it's going to be on PlayStation. But it was never a thought. The game title never screamed to me PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Master Chief screams Xbox. Kratos PlayStation. I mean, it's one of those things where your brain is just tied mm-hmm. to that. For me, MLB Show was never that because I never played it. I never felt like that was tied to anything because I did not play that. I did not seek it out. Uncharted, Nate Drake, that sort of thing ties to PlayStation.
And
Tecmo Bowl ties to NES. Yeah.
And it's baseball, not a character. It's a game. And baseball. I mean, it's not like football and what EA did. All those years ago.
But again, that's another great example where I never associated it with the console like a mascot, like a character would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just think, and we've said it before, the more availability your game is, movies.
Select showing in these cities.
Well, not just that, but the rating on your movies. R is going to limit your audience. PG-13 is going to open that audience. You know, I understand that people don't really whatever, but there is that. There's still that aspect.
You worked in theater. You know how
I totally know. And I don't think it's gotten any better, but I totally know.
Wow, Barbie's Horse Adventures really shot up this week.
I get it. I know. But that's the thing. The more people that can consume your product, then the more money you're going to make on it.
Yeah.
And the cheaper the cost of entry. In other words, like, well, I could play that game, but I got to buy a console to go with it, and that's just not in my budget.
Yeah, I'm thinking the way the major video game companies are acting right now. This is the time for indies to thrive right now.
Indies are thriving like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
Oh wow, so. The releases we talked about it. Animal Well, Balatro.
Yeah.
The probably a couple that I've listed off that I got from that Humble Bundle. Axiom Verge is an indie game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, there were a couple of others. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. That's another puzzle game that is from the same guy that did Sayonara Wild Hearts and a couple of others. A single developer. The indies have been eaten. If you are a lover of indies, you oh man, your plate is full and you just have tons to consume. Mm. It is a fantastic year for indies right now. They're going nuts, man. They're going nuts. Pepper Grinder, that's another indie thing. Children of the Sun is an indie thing that's gotten great reviews.
How big was Dave the Diver?
That was pretty big. Dave the Diver was a big thing too, although some people have trouble counting that as an indie given how many people were involved and the money that they got from it.
I don't mean the money they got. I mean how much it cost to make.
That's
what I'm thinking about.
I'm not exactly sure on that. There was some some question on whether they considered them indie. I don't know. I'd need to look into it to really go further into that.
Yeah. I mean, bottom line I'm trying to make is that you don't have to be AAA to be a hit.
No, not at all.
And to be profitable.
Not at all.
And that's going to be, and with the way these big companies are acting right now in the video game landscape, people are going to start looking elsewhere, and they see these indies coming out and see what they can do with what they, with the resources they got. They're going to get a lot
I've
of attention.
I've got way so, more yeah. indies in my wish list right now than I do AAAs.
Yeah.
Way more indies in there. Mm-hmm. We got to go, though. We are out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us here and everybody in the chat room. We appreciate it. We are off next week. We'll not be back next week, so we will be back the week after. And, yeah, so thank you guys so much. Have a fantastic week, 2 weeks. Enjoy the holiday and everything else you may be doing. And, yeah, you guys have a good one. Got music here from Digimon World 2. It is the first boss theme. I think it's every boss theme, but anyway, have a good one. We'll see you in 2 weeks.